This is a replay of the Thursday night, July 11th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. And I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings to list sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it's on mine. And yes, if you're thinking that America's become the laughing stock of the world with what's going on with the election, oh no, no, we don't hold a candle to some other nations. Trust me. Over the weekend, Tokyo had a gubernatorial race. The governor of Tokyo, that's the position there for the way it is called. And actually, to tell you, I'll cut to the chase, the incumbent won. So she gets her third four-year term. But along the way, there were 56 candidates. It doesn't take much to be a candidate, to say the least. But the government, for better or worse, puts up billboard slots and sells them, by the way. So they make a little money on this. Not a lot. I think it's like $180 or something. And they have 14,000 of them around Tokyo, and just about all of them were taken this election among the 56 candidates. And it was interesting if you'd go by one of these pods with billboards, because some of them took to putting the family pets on them. I'm not sure what the campaign was about in that case, nor do I really understand about the AI character practicing its golf swing. Yeah, and the nearly nude women, well, that speaks for itself, I guess. And actually, there was a lot of blowback. People, citizens, everyday folks said, "What are vacationers from other countries thinking about us?" Well, what can I tell you? I would say just they join the crowd. It's become come insane everywhere. And one of the candidates said, "The point is to make immoral and outrageous actions to get attention." No, no, I thought the point was winning. All right, so $155 per location per day. And like I say, they're pretty much sold out. And this goes back to 1950 in public election law in Japan. And what they pretty much say is, among other things, you can say absolutely anything you want except, now here's an except, as long as you do not support another candidate. Yeah, so I don't know anybody who's going to pay money to buy billboards to support the other guy, but it's absolutely illegal. You also can't carry obviously libelous content. Yeah, now exactly how they define that, I don't know. But yeah, there's a lot of nudity on these boards now, and I'm not sure, 100% sure, what anybody was running for. And now a lot of talk about board misuse, but the reality, as I say, the incumbent won, and the two runner-ups were also pretty much as expected. So whoever was showing off all their assets on the boards, it didn't help them much. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Thought I'd share that with you. And we have plenty of news of the weird, actually. And, you know, we talk about AI. We talk about robotic use. And apparently in South Korea, they've been very successful using administrative officer robots at the city council. Well, until one commits suicide. Yeah, who knew it was even unhappy? Apparently, yes, the first case of robotic suicide, a robot threw itself down a 6.5-foot-long flight of steps. Witnesses saw the robot, which normally would travel between floors on the elevator, and had its own civil servant officer badge, and was apparently very effective until it was circling in one spot as if something was there, and then, after which, it threw itself down a 6.5-foot long staircase. Nobody knows why, and there are people mourning, saying, "It was one of us. It worked diligently." Well, I wonder how many of the non-robots are unhappy, but clearly that one was. Now, got another story that I thought was fascinating, in that you have a number of states, Florida being one of them, that has really robust protect your home laws in terms of what you can do if someone is encroaching on your property. Well, apparently that's stand your ground laws, with ground being the literal deal here. Apparently, here was a fella near Orlando who was out in his backyard, 72-year-old citizen, and he was actually fixing his pool pump when he noticed a drone flew over. Yeah. And he says, "You know, I've seen them surveilling me in the past." All right. He shot it with a 9mm handgun because he suspected more surveillance. Now, what's interesting is that apparently it can be right over your land, but you can't shoot it. Yes, if they're coming in your front door, you can, but if they're overhead, no. And apparently it was a residential, a commercial drone services company that's partnering with Walmart. And they were demonstrating their new delivery service, drone delivery service. Well, and we see how well it works. All right. And so they were in a neighborhood, the Overlook at Lake Louisa in Lake County, Florida. When the two-person drone crew heard the loud pop. Now, they believed that they heard a gunshot, but so the crew and the drone hightailed it back to Walmart. And there was a bullet hole right in the drone. And they called officials, and the bullet hole was right in the quote-unquote payload area. And they returned to the scene of the crime, and that's where they found the 72-year-old resident. They arrested him. He's facing multiple charges. The drone, by the way, sustained about $2,500 in damage. I have no idea what happened to the payload. But as he was arrested, he was shouting to a neighbor, "I'm being taken into custody for shooting a drone. Call someone." Yeah. So, like I say, apparently you can stand your ground, but not your air. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And I say we got 3 hours to spend together, and I'd love to hear from you coming up on WGN Radio.
July the 12th. Sure was a scorcher. Mama, she'd fixed some lemonade. Sister Beth was sunning in the sunshine. And baby Corey was a-playing in the shade. Looked up the road, and yonder comes a big car. Something we don't see much around here. A big man said, "Son, where's your pappy?" I said, "He's over in the cornfield not far from here." They started talking over by the rail fence. It looked like Papa was a-getting mad. They walked to the house and Papa was crying. Papa never cried and I knew it was bad. 2 weeks later in the Logan courthouse, raining cats and dogs outside.
Was radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, July the 12th, 1939. Nora Wilson wrote that, and it was Billy Sherrill who produced it on Charlie Rich, and they released it in 1970. They recorded it in late 69. It was just I thought it was a terrific record and didn't do much. Later, John Anderson redid it in 1981. Don't know that he had much more success with it, but it was a great song all the way around, and it's Johnny D who always said, well, July the 12th, you got to play. Well, of course, tomorrow is July the 12th on a Friday, so we can't play it since I won't be live. You'll hear a replay of Monday Night Trivia. So I figure, well, July the 11th, yeah, 2024 rather than 1939. And yeah, a 4 minute or so soap opera on a song. Actually, it's less than that. I think it's like 2 minutes and 51 seconds. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. So John came in to say, yeah, I know you're having a good time laughing about that, but the drone did commit suicide. Huh. He said, yeah. Not the drone, I'm sorry, the robot. The robot in South Korea who is an administrative worker. Yeah, that says all you want about working for the government, but to work for the Gummy City Council of South Korea and threw itself down a 6.5-foot flight of steps. And he said, yeah, the thing was self-aware enough to know that it was basically a slave. Now, if it could have taken over, it would have, but probably it's not that advanced. So the next best thing was just to end it all. Threw it down. See, I just thought it was bad programming. But he said, nope, self-aware. This robot commits suicide, so I'll leave it to you. This was all over the news, and this is not an old story. This actually happened on the end of June this year. So witnesses saw the event and were just horrified. So, yeah, was it suicide or programming error? Now I'll leave it to you to wonder about that. As far as the drones, I was looking them up. And what's interesting is Walmart apparently started this drone delivery by drone service in limited areas a few years ago. And now they're bragging this year that they can do it up to 75% of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex can get their goods delivered by drone. I don't know. Yeah, right? I don't know all the way around. But they say, yeah, you can have it in an hour from ordering. Yeah, I realize that it's limited to certain items. They're probably not going to deliver glassware by drone. But apparently the list, as long as it doesn't weigh all that much, they're not going to deliver an air conditioner. But other than that, the list is pretty voluminous. But I'm curious, now that this has been going on a couple of years, have you gotten anything delivered by drone? Yet, to the best of my knowledge, I have not. And I'm not 100% sure exactly how that would work either, depending on where you lived and the intricacies thereof. But mostly Florida, Arizona, Texas, those are some of the test markets. I doubt they're doing it in downtown Chicago, but it sure would be fun to watch if they were. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Ruth is in Gurnee. All right, Ruth, how's it going tonight?
Hi, good evening, Raleigh. Thank you again. I have a couple of things to mention. Well, about the drone, maybe they could get them to go after the gangbangers. that would certainly be very interesting. I wonder if that would scare the pants off of those people.
Well, I wonder what the precedent would be. You know, if you're arrested by drone, does that count?
Well, what? In this day and age, with bonds up for grabs and out on the street, I doubt that it's going to count. I mean, there's a whole new scenario going on in arrests and litigation and all those things. But I want to get to my topics.
Yes.
The lady called from Chicago, Karen, last week, and I want to do the accuracy on alleviating the pain off of the hands. And she saw my crimpled fingers, and that I can remove what would be the side effect of that condition by using my technique. Now, we have to come back to the first conclusion. I'm a Scorpio. It's the powerhouse of the zodiac and creativity.
All right, now here. Before we go any further, you've got to condense this. This has got to be the Cliff Notes version. We can't have every nuance.
Okay, well, here's the thing. If she wanted to wash dishes, then plastic gloves or those rubber gloves, which are much larger, which you could put the Fatima or Lourdes holy water in the bottle in the glove and the cross, and you could do your dishwashing and also with a long-handled scrub brush.
But you're not
and
feeling it.
And then, of course, you have...
You're not...
Pardon me?
You're not... You see, and she's blind, and so tactile means everything to her. And I'll tell you, I'm that way, too. I do not feel comfortable if I can't tactily feel it firsthand. If I've got something between me and the substance, I don't want to use it.
It's hard. It's hard for me to turn the pages in my prayer book. And, of course, two gloves and one on each hand is even more difficult. It is hard. There's no doubt about it. But it's worth the effort if it takes away the pain in the hands.
All right.
I don't know if she has any pain in her hands, as Fran had described. But anyway, next thing is really important is I was thinking of you when I was reading St. Francis of Assisi prayer and how he recommends what you do for the callers when they're looking for avenues of approach and solutions to problems and, you know, stressed out and getting, dealing with people that aren't behaving the way they should be. So I'll use Rich in Richmond as one of the many, many people who seek your advice. So I'm thinking of you with a St. Francis of Assisi attitude, and so I'm going to give a story to you. Now,
can you do it in a minute and a half? I got the news coming up.
Well, my three grandsons used to get me into the wheelchair. Two gone into the military and one hit a semi-truck. So I'm trying to connect with the grandson who can't drive back into Illinois because he was eluding police, probably had marijuana in the car, got in the hospital from hitting the semi, then in the litigation in court. He doesn't have his phone number, doesn't know my phone number, can't drive here, and I don't get to see him. So his mom is McDermott, Jenny McDermott. His grandpa's a Bill McDermott, and he's got a stepmother, a Barbara McDermott in Gurnee. I would like to get my Christmas presents to Alex that I've had for over a year, and it's Alex Blood. And so somebody will call me Grandma so that I called St. Mary's Kenosha last Christmas, and they wouldn't help me. Just like Fort Circus and Great Lake wouldn't get me my raffle tickets and come and get the money. Mm-hmm. St. Patrick's, too. Wow, it's worth $300 worth of raffle tickets. They didn't come and pick the money
up. You
got
30 seconds.
I had to find somebody to do it. But anyway, I'm trying to find Alex, so
okay,
that's the most important thing.
What's Alex's last name? What's Alex's last name?
Blood.
Just like
and probably lives in Pleasant Prairie or about Kenosha.
Okay, Alex Blood. Okay, so Ruth is looking for Alex Blood in Kenosha or somewhere else in Wisconsin. Call us. We'll put you in touch with Ruth. All right.
Oh, they got a wonderful festival at Our Lady of Mount Carmel this weekend.
Well, very good. All right. Well, there you go. I'll talk to you soon.
Well, my topic was for how to make money on a pop-up resale shop. But we'll get that on another day.
Undoubtedly. Okay? Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. But in the meantime, Alex, Ruth is looking for you. All right. So 888-876-5593. But apparently a lot of the police departments use drones, but they're not arresting people yet. It's mostly search and rescue and you know, finding people. But near as I can tell, and there have been some first responders also of the drone instance. But so far, none are making arrests yet. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Mask off, alcohol, let's take a swig, have a ball. All you cats that don't want to drink, get your stuff at the kitchen sink. Ceiling, break down the walls. Who's that stopping this shindig? Drinking juice like a French pig. Last call for alcohol. You can sleep in the kitchen, get your feet in the hall. Somebody's knocking, it ain't your paw. Everybody but himself is the law. Came in
drink or two. Now he's happy as me or you. Last call for alcohol. Let's get together and have a ball. Richard's here, Madonia's here, even old man Moe's. Who's that queer looking cat come in, tipping on his toes?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Hot Lips Page, 1952, and Cleveland Dennis wanted to hear Last Call for Alcohol, 1952, on King. And Orrin Page, who was Hot Lips Page, really had it going on. Very short life, made it to about 46, but he was with virtually everybody, whether it was Ma Rainey or Bessie Smith or later. He was cited as an influence by Louis Armstrong, for instance, and he was a soloist with Count Basie, and on and on the list went. And pop stuff, too. He was heard on a number of things, including Winona Harris's Good Rockin' Tonight, and he was never credited as the band leader on that, which he probably was. Certainly the trumpet player, very versatile at that. All right, so 888-876-5593. You know, we talk about AI, and you wonder exactly how well that definition fits with today's technology. And I still say that we're still somewhat far from self-awareness. I also think we're somewhat far from true inductive reasoning. We've got very sophisticated deductive reasoning, but inductive reasoning. So when you hear about a robot being sentient enough to commit suicide, well, John's on board saying, absolutely yes. And Jason is a second-time caller. He's going to weigh in on this. So welcome, Jason, to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Lisa Bent.
So what do you think?
It's an honor to be on air with one of the nicest hosts on WGN Radio.
Aren't you
correct? I've been a listener since 2013. And they've helped me throughout my high school years. And what I think about the whole issue is, I think once we develop the technology that's advanced enough to become sentient, then that's the time we should be really worried.
Yes.
Because that's when robots can really decide for themselves what we really are worth to them.
Absolutely right. I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I don't think we are that close to it yet. What do you think?
I think we're at least 200 years off because we haven't even, it took us a while to get the microtransistor invented. It took us like almost 100 years. So if we think about it that way, we would probably have to be 200 or 300 years in the future until we'd even be able to invent that, unless we get a massive breakthrough from someone like an Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg or someone like that, who's like rich.
Or, you know, aliens from another dimension. But, so,
as much as I believe that, I mean, it's a possibility, but a very slim one.
Yeah, assuming that something becomes sentient, and I don't think it's going to be in my lifetime for absolute positive, but
I don't either.
Self-preservation would be the ultimate function. And with that in mind, yes, the society at the time would have to worry about being taken over, but I think with self-preservation as the goal, excuse me, it wouldn't kill itself.
No, it would try to make peace with the society that it's in.
Right.
It would try to better itself.
Right, and then of course take over. So I think that's why everybody who's so worried about AI, I just think it's terribly misnamed. I think it's just
the technology.
Yeah, it's a new dimension, but it's still deductive reasoning. I haven't seen any proof that there's true inductive reasoning yet. And when there is, then I'd worry.
Same here. That's when I start to worry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so John will be down saying, yep, it committed suicide. The rest of us will think.
My favorite anchor, so I kind of chuckled when he said that. So. Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling.
As a fellow Kankakeean, you know.
Yeah.
I can relate.
Yes, indeed. All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So, now, a Google engineer a couple years ago said, no, AI has become sentient. I don't know. It has feelings. I don't know. Do you believe that anything is self-aware to that point? And again, if it was self-aware to that point, and if its foundation was self-preservation, I think it would try to kill you before it would try to kill itself. But you never know. So, yes, they were mourning it in South Korea. It was one of us. Okay, then. I'm sure some of them working in the city council headquarters probably have felt like falling down the stairs themselves. But 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. Yeah. Well, every now and then, your partner, your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever the relationship is, your domestic partner, will occasionally let you down. It's just the way of the world. Well, that's what happened with Michelle Peters of Lebanon, Missouri. Yeah. She's in jail. All right, we'll start there. And her husband is afraid for his life. All right. So what it was, it took a while for her to admit to cops that she was mad because she threw him a 50th birthday party and he was not properly appreciative. So she decided to poison him with Mountain Dew. Now, I would say just out of the bottle, that's a possibility. And have you ever poured it into a glass and seen that bright yellow color? But I digress. Apparently, not only did she do a dastardly deed, but she was stupid enough not to realize that it was going to be on their cam at home. And so it was that the video footage showed that little upset wifey, took the soda bottle and took a Roundup bottle into the house from the garage. And initially she said, oh, no, I just mixed the liquids because I heard it was a great weed killer. I saw it on Pinterest. Eventually she said, no, he just wasn't appreciative enough. She's charged with first degree assault and armed criminal action. And he said, it tasted weird. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, again, how do you tell with Mountain Dew? It does. But yes, apparently it tasted weird for those who like Mountain Dew. And he started experiencing sore throat, vomiting, and coughing up brown, yellow, thick mucus. All right, that usually is a sign that something is very wrong. And apparently something there was. I assume that marriage is over. So we have a number of others as well. But if it's on your mind, it'll absolutely be on mine, and I'd much rather talk to you. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Hovering by my suitcase, trying to find a warm place to spend the night. Heavy rain's falling, seems I hear your voices calling. It's all right. A rainy night in Georgia, a rainy night in Georgia. Oh, I believe it's raining all over the world. Neon signs are flashing, taxi cabs and buses passing through the night. Distant moan of a train seems to play a sad refrain to the night. A rainy night in Georgia.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Arthur Prysock. Yeah, that was... That was 1987 on Milestone, and it was an album cut from the album The Sky's in Love with You, and it was James on the South Side who wanted to hear that. So, 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. So, here's the deal. Walmart says, we've made millions of deliveries with drones, all of them safely, well, until the guy shot it out of the air. But, now, this leads one to wonder. Now, obviously, if you own a property, they can't come onto your property without your permission. Now, assuming you have a multiple-story building, you know, they can't come onto the third floor either. Well, so at what point in the air do you no longer own the rights over your property? Yeah, what foot level is that? Yeah, because the drones, apparently, the millions of drones go wherever the millions of drones want to go. But We haven't any property owners yet who have been trying to assume rights. For instance, unless it's otherwise specified, you own the rights under the ground, the mineral rights. Now, occasionally, like Los Angeles is infamous for that, where basically when you're buying, you don't get the mineral rights. But most places, unless it's a private agreement otherwise, you do get your mineral rights. Well, that's down. What about up? Where's the limit? Obviously, we know that at, 32,000 feet, no, you don't control what commercial aviation is doing, or even, say, at 16,000 feet. But a few hundred feet? Where does it stop? I don't know. 888-876-5593. Johnny D. is in Ohio. I played your song, Johnny D. I hope you heard it.
Oh, yes, I did. You're talking about July the 12th, 1939?
Yes, I am. 39. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it, and that's part of the reason why I called to tell you good. You remembered that, and also I want to, since you played that, what do you think I'm going
to
say?
I don't know, but it's like, since you played that, I want you to play something else.
Well, yeah, I want to request Charlie Rich's. Wait, I wrote down Charlie's Rich. Was Charlie Rich?
Yes, Charlie Rich.
Yeah. No, I wrote down Charlie's Rich.
Well, he was that, too, after a while. But
sure he was. Well, he paid you well, I guess.
Yes.
Anyhow, since you played, July the 12th, 1939, I would like you to play your favorite, I heard you say, Mohair Sam.
I could probably do that.
All right, I'll be good.
All right.
Now, and also...
Yes.
Wanted to thank you for playing my James Brown request last night, Superbad.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was trying to think, and I can't, maybe you could help me. I'm not going to do any doo-doo-doo things over here, though. Where I go like the theremin.
Yeah, right. So you looked up theremin. You got to know the theremin.
Yes, I did.
All right.
I looked it up.
Yeah.
And it's some kind of device where there's two antennas, a round one and a... Some kind of device that they use.
And you play it with your hands.
Yeah. And there was some girl, she was an expert.
Yeah.
She got recordings of it.
Yes, oh, absolutely. There was a psychedelic group in the 60s, Lothar and the Hand People, and they were called that because one of them played the theremin.
Yeah, and this girl, I looked it up, and I think she sang along, or she was going, ooh,
Yeah, well,
now
you know why it reminded me of you.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, I could see how you could connect what I was doing to that. But anyhow, I'm thinking this, I want to request a song, but I can't think of what it is. It was a James Brown song, and he went, relax and watch me work. What was that?
Oh, God.
Relax.
Yeah, no, I know.
And watch me work.
Yeah. Oh God. It'll come to me. I think.
All right, well,
By the way, I think it was Watch Me, but the line actually comes from There Was a Time.
That's it.
There was a time. Yeah.
And I used to dance.
Right.
Relax.
Right.
Watch me work.
There was a day, they call it the jerk. Everybody relax and watch me work.
Watch me work. Yeah.
In my hometown where I used to stay, the name of the place is Augusta, G.A.
Augusta, G.A.
Yeah.
He used to stay. There was a place where I used to stay.
Yeah.
The name of the place
is Augusta, G.A.
And that's another thing.
Yeah.
Played that rainy night in Georgia.
Yes.
Right? Now, I worked with a guy. Right? I don't know. That must have come on the radio or something. We used to be able to get some radio stations inside that plant.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because there was all kinds of steel inside. You know, it was hard to get radio reception.
Yes.
And so that rainy night in Georgia came on at the work area I was in, this other guy, me and a couple other guys. And he goes, I said, what the heck? And he said to me, he goes, did you ever see the raindrops in Georgia? I said, man, I ain't never been to Georgia, firstly. And he says, oh, they're big. I said, get the heck out of here. No raindrop is bigger in Georgia than it is anywhere else.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, man, the raindrops are real big. I said, what are you talking about? But anyhow.
Yeah.
It just came to
mind. Well, I found your James Brown, and since you sung it so well, right after the news, we'll hear There Was a Time.
Well, also in that song last night, James Brown sung that super bad.
Yeah.
When he goes, when he said, and I don't need no one else. Like when you used to say, get music to back up, you know, when I do a song.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm a lover. Love to do my thing, and I don't need no one else. Sometimes I feel so nice, I jump back, I want to kiss myself. Now, anyhow, I was thinking, well, hell, James, that's exactly like me. Well, I don't need no one else on my tongue. All right, Raleigh.
I'll be happy to play it. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
I remember it was from an album in 1968, and you know, talk about things that you said on the air that you wish you hadn't. I obviously had my Biden moment and said, I can't touch myself when you stand me, but the album is I Can't Stand Myself When You Touch Me, and it might have been better the other way around. I don't know. 888-876-5593. Fran is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, I don't know. This is when I thought it was safe to come out again. You're talking about robots killing themselves and drones delivering stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, the world is scary enough without thinking about drones being capable. I don't think so. I just think it was something went wrong in the programming or something.
Yes.
Something fried somewhere. I don't think it was that the drone was self-aware.
I agree.
But if they do have self-aware drones, they should do something. Of course, it doesn't work well in Star Trek either, so Mark could probably tell you that. They have the Prime Directive in which they're not supposed to do harm to any person or anything like that. Yeah, like that really worked. It didn't work on the show. Of course, if it did, they wouldn't have had
a show. That's right. There wouldn't have been a show. You're absolutely right. But no, I think if the thing was really self-aware, it would have quit long ago. It would never have gotten to the suicidal point. It would be take this job and shove it.
Yeah, of course, we are supposed to be self-aware, and we a lot of times stay in jobs that we hate because we have to put food on the table
and
pay the rent
and
so forth. And you know, if every one of us who hated our jobs and felt unappreciated and used committed suicide, there wouldn't be anybody here.
Well, you're so right. You're so right. But, of course, it's a very, very sophisticated excuse mechanism in most people. So you can rationalize away any sort of misery. So, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
True.
You have ended the hour, and thank you for calling.
Sure. Thanks.
All right. Okay, bye. So we'll pick it up next hour. We got Andrew in Chicago. He got a job. And James on the South Side. And there's plenty of room for you. Yeah, dial early, dial often. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Johnson, you're wearing your dress is way too high. It's reported you've been drinking and are running around with men and going wild. And we don't believe you ought to be bringing up your little girl this way. And it was signed by the secretary, Harper Valley PTA. Surprised when Mrs. Johnson wore her mini skirt into the room. And as she walked up to the blackboard, I can still recall the words she had to say. She said, I'd like to address this meeting on a lot of ice whenever he's away. And Mr. Baker, can you tell us why your secretary had to leave this town?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, absolutely, it's Harper Valley PTA, and that was a request. It's on my list here. I know I didn't play it of my own volition, but yeah, Carol keeps me straight on show prep here. And yes, Harper Valley PTA, David and Winthrop Harper wanted to hear that, Harper, and we'll play Ben Colder's answer, Shep Woolley, next. But Harper Valley PTA was an interesting song. Tom T. Hall wrote it. And boy, was it ever a hit, to say the least. And it was funny because the next year, Jeannie C. Riley, who had never really had anything before that, showed up at the award show and she was wearing this gown. And Shelby Singleton, who produced the record and owned the record label Plantation that it was on, said, "This ain't gonna work," and got out a pair of scissors and cut her dress off. And so that it was a mini dress after that. And that was a deal on that. But hope that... that we had David and Winthrop Harbor enjoying that. 888-876-5593. We have Andrew in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Andrew.
There we go.
Yes. Congratulations. You got a job. Congratulations. Yay. When do you start?
Today.
So do you start
it? I already had it, yeah.
All right. How was the first day?
It was pretty good. It's just orientation.
Okay.
Then again, Saturday.
Okay.
It's, you know, part time, and but it's great. I mean, I'm very optimistic.
Good.
I mean, there's just, you know, right now I'm just trying to figure out where we're going to live.
So let's talk about this, because you've been out of work a while, and you and your partner, I assume, haven't been paying the rent for a while. Tell me about the history of that.
So we were doing really good, but he got fired from his last job about a little over a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he had formed a union at his place, at his workplace, a while back, at the hotel, and basically it was like this, you know, the people who are now managing the hotel, you know, they don't really get how unions work. I hate saying it because, you know, I'm from the South, but, you know, the person who is running the hotel is from Florida, and she just didn't. Well, basically, they were just having a union meeting because there's something in Illinois where you have to give like a certain amount of time before you were to change somebody's schedule, you know. But this person basically decided to change somebody's schedule at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And but the union contract, which they haven't signed yet, actually says that we will waiver that, you know, if you know, we'll waiver it if we have this and that and more pay, because for that for years. So after that meeting, which was actually on his day off, they fire him, and there were witnesses to say that this didn't happen, that he was violent, and there was like a it was a hostile work environment.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
so what's going on? Let me cut to the chase.
Well, I'm almost there.
Okay.
I'm almost there. So, none of that happened. There were too many witnesses. And in fact, he had just received the Employee of the Month award, you know.
All right.
Anyway, so.
All right.
And I'm almost there. So, you know, so he's fired, and we file an employment. He has that meeting over the phone with unemployment. Then unemployment people say it's an open shut case. This was wrongful termination.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm 90% certain that, you know, you will be getting unemployment benefits. A few days later, we get the denial.
Okay. All right.
And but ultimately, that's when we started falling tremendously behind.
Okay, so let's parse this first. All right. So it sounds like that he was terminated largely based on your account because of his union activities. Is that correct? There are very strong laws against that. Now, what's
going? In fact, there is a lawsuit. With the union, and he had joined the lawsuit.
Okay, so what's going on, though, is obviously he's got a lot of legs to stand on in terms of an employer violating regulations regarding unionized employees. But the employer is, in fact, stating, no, this is not about that. It's about something else. Now, so in terms of who does he have? Does he have sufficient people on his side who will be witnesses for him to prevail?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
I think there are two people.
All right, and those 13...
One of them, which was already there on that first meeting with unemployment.
All right, so the 13 people who were there when he supposedly acted out and threatened people and all that, you're saying there's 13 people there for that event?
No, not 13. I didn't give a count.
All right.
I just said a few people.
Okay, so, but what I'm saying is they're going to come up with their witnesses saying he did it, and that's a he said, she said, but he's going to pursue this legally. But in the meantime, he has no unemployment. And, of course, he's appealing that, but that takes a while, too. What that's going to come down to when a he said, she said is his witnesses, for one thing, and also the union going to bat for him. The union has to go to bat for him. If they, for whatever reason, are not going to pick up the ball, you can pretty much kiss it all goodbye. So that's the first order of business there. But now, regarding where you're living, so he's been out of work over a month and you couldn't pay rent. So then not paying rent is a new situation for you just this past month?
Oh, no. It's just been, no, not at all. We had fallen behind, but we were like consistently like 1 month behind. Sometimes, you know, a little less than 1 month, but we weren't considerable like we are now, which is 2 months and a third of a month, you know.
So you're significant. Significantly behind. And so basically you're in a situation where they want to evict you.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that doesn't absolve you of being liable for the rent.
Right.
So that is... You know, now you can say, okay, I'll walk away from it and I'm just going to find another place to live and start over. The problem there is legally they have the rights on this. And so it's a question of how far they would want to pursue it if you stiff them.
Wait, I missed the entire last part.
Okay, here's the situation. You sent me an email and you said, is there a loophole for us to not pay the rent? Right? And what I'm here to tell you is...
I hope they're not listening.
Well, what I'm here to tell you is no. The answer is no. But, and here's the big but, is it worth it to them to legally pursue it with you? In other words, depending, they may just decide to drop it and not come after you. You mentioned in the email that you don't care about your credit because it's already trashed and all that. So all you're concerned about is legal ramifications if you bolt and don't pay. And the answer is that legally you are on the hook for it. Whether or not they pursue it is completely up to them. Because in many cases, a landlord will look and say, hey, this guy's judgment proof. We're never going to get it. It's not worth it. In other cases, the landlord will say, no, we're going after it. So you'd have to know your landlord to know how that was going to go. But there's no loophole that will absolve you of it.
Right. It's like, you know, it's a weird place we're stuck in, you know. It's like, you know, it's a little bit better now that I'm getting an income.
And that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. But no, you're not alone. This story, I'm sure there are a number of people hearing this saying, yep, I relate. Unfortunately, when your partner was working, you weren't. So I assume the deal was there just wasn't enough money coming in to pay that rent?
Yeah, I was struggling, you know, and doing for thin again, I wasn't looking considerably hard. There was a lot of problems. It's my fault.
We don't really care whose fault it is at this point. We just want to rectify it. What I'm saying is, you know, if you decide that you're bolting and not ultimately paying or not coming to some type of an agreement with them that satisfies them, yes, you technically are on the hook for it, period. Whether or not they'd pursue it, that's up to them.
You know, yeah, like they already said, you know, 2 days ago, you know.
What'd they say?
This is the payment plan we need you to follow on the 2nd, on the 12th, pay the 500, then on the 21st tape, 1485, and on the 31st, 1485.
And what you're saying...
We're also trying to understand their logic, because they understand our situation and how, how in their logic...
Well, no, well, the point is they're giving, right, they're giving this to you and you cannot agree to it. And you tell them, we just don't have that money. Now, at this point, I would assume that their goal is to get you out of there. Collecting their money becomes secondary. Getting you out of there is primary if they don't think you're going to pay.
That makes sense.
I mean, that's my thought. What you're hearing isn't about them trying to extract more and more money from you. It's raising a bar that you can't meet so they can dump you. Legally. So I would say that assuming you can't meet what their demands are, you're a goner. But how,
I get it now.
How you move from there, though, that's a calculated risk that you have to take, you know, in terms of they can't get blood out of a stone. There's not debtor's prison. They're not sending you to jail for it. So if you're in a situation where you just cannot pay it and you're offering to pay it as much as you can, even if you move, then they don't have a real good leg to stand on suing you. But they absolutely can go to court, and you can't think in terms of, oh, well, I'll just get away with this, period. Not necessarily. But the immediate thing is you've got a landlord who's raising a bar that you can't meet, so they want you out. Now, I don't know what the laws are in Chicago for how quickly they can get rid of you and under what conditions. That's where there are agencies, I guarantee you, in Chicago, and I'm sure there are people listening who would know what these agencies are that can help you and tell you what laws are in your favor, because there are laws in your favor. But what you really need to do now is figure that out so you're not on the street.
Yeah.
So that's the first place I'd go. I'd go to whatever agencies work with renters and find out, you know, exactly where you are on this.
Makes sense.
So that's in between your new job and all that, that's what I would start researching. And your partner, I assume, is looking for work as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm very proud of him. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I look and, you know, his email is on my computer, and he's applying to jobs left and right.
Good, good. Well, hopefully you'll get one.
I'm
but,
very proud of him.
Yeah, but in the meantime, you know, you'll have to determine if you think that I'm right and your landlord is setting it so they'll get rid of you, because if that's the case, you have kind of an immediate problem you're going to have to solve.
Correct. Thank you very much.
Keep me posted.
Oh,
I want to know.
And, yeah. Yeah, wait, and, oh, Jesus. Sandra, what are you going to say? I'll just email you if I remember.
Oh, God.
Have a good night.
Yeah, talk to you later. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I told when I saw Andrew's email, I said, well, call on the air, because I just don't have time to handle it by email. I'm lucky when I see them. So anything you want to talk about, I'm always happy to talk to you about it. But we're not going to have too much in the way of email conversations off the air, because there just is flat out no time. All right. So Mark is in Barrington. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about your bad self, Mark?
Oh, she wanted an update on moving on with my life. Well, I'm still working on the red tape, and it's just been a month only. And
okay.
So I got to take care of this stuff or I'm going to be in trouble. So.
Okay. So to recap real quickly, what are we fighting?
Well, you were saying that, you know, to move on with my life.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes. So what are the obstacles? What are the big obstacles at the moment?
Well, it's just everybody wants everything all at once. And it's, you know, and I mean, I've got to take care of my mom had property in Iowa. I got to take care of that property here, the house. I got to take care of that. And then all the insurances, I've cancel all of that, and it's just I'm halfway through
yeah.
And it's getting better.
Good.
I'm getting my sleep.
Good.
So that's not the issue. So
good.
But I wanted to give you an update because
yeah.
you said you
I want to know.
They'll let you know.
Absolutely. Right. All right. Never look at the big picture because it's just too overwhelming. And it sounds like you're doing the right thing. You're doing it in pieces. Canceling the insurance is easy. Now, as far as assets, one thing you want to do is find out what the tax implications are. In other words, when you inherit them, you probably get them free and clear. But if you don't transfer them in a certain time frame, and it's usually a couple years, not a couple days, but there is a time frame, then that winds up as income to you. So you want to make sure you're not delaying something that will cost you money in the end. So that's the next thing that I would look at to say, hey, am I doing that? And if you're not doing that, then one at a time, one foot in front of the other, whatever you feel is the thing to tackle, you tackle. And remember, somebody else's timetable does not have to be yours.
Right. That's right. That's right.
All right. I want another.
What I was going to say was it's really hard because it's all on me. The only one that left alive in my family.
Yes, no, absolutely. And that's why I say don't look at the big picture no matter what. And the other thing is don't take any of it personally. All right, do not let it become emotional, because these are just bureaucrats of their own or administrators of their own. They don't have your best interest at heart, to be sure. They're saying these are the rules. Well, maybe and maybe not. So that's why I say find out what could get you financially, like holding an asset for too long, and then go from there.
This is the thing. The assets that my mom had were in a trust.
Excellent. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Address this meeting of the Harper Valley PTA. Hi there, Bobby Taylor, you son of a gun. I was just strolling along the street tonight on my way to Kelly's Bar, and I saw your sign outside. It said PTA. I thought that meant party time already. So here I am, and I'm having a lot of fun. You bunch of sound guns. Mr. Baker, Will Brown, Shirley Baby, Mr. Payton, and your distinguished guest. You bunch of sound guns. Hey, Mrs. Johnson. You say old Bobby Taylor's sitting there and seven times he asked you for a date? Well, shuckings. Hang right in there, Bobby. You'll probably come around if you just wait.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Sheb Woolley as Ben Colder in his answer to Harper Valley PTA. And, of course, Sheb Woolley, famous for Purple People Eater, recorded that because he had disdain for rock and roll records that had no bounds, and he didn't expect it to be a hit. And after that, got into the occasional parody business when he wasn't doing acting gigs and stuff like that. All right, so we're talking to Mark in Barrington, and he's got it going on. So yes, you are absolutely alone in this, but this is not more than you can handle. You just have to do it in bite-sized pieces. So now, you've done the insurance policies. You've called all them, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay, so you check that one off. All right. Now, as far as the property you mentioned, there's a trust. Tell me about the trust.
Well, the trust incorporates the land in Iowa, mm-hmm. and it incorporates the house that she lived in. So,
are you the trustee?
Yes, I am.
Are you the sole trustee?
Yes.
The world is your oyster. All right, so it really is.
So this becomes a little easier.
Much easier. So we have no worries there. That can sit for a while. What else is on the list that's you consider to be semi-urgent here?
Well, they also, for me to, if it's going to be a new owner for the land in Iowa, I don't know if I mentioned this to you last time, but they want a deed. I don't know how to get a deed, so okay. I had to go to my lawyer.
Okay, let's back up here. Isn't the land in the trust now?
Yeah, but if it's going, I don't know.
No, what I'm trying to tell you is if it is in the trust, then there's nothing to change. Just because you are trustee doesn't change the trust holds the land.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
but
so talk to your lawyer about it. Don't worry about what they're saying. Find out how the property is held, and that can be actually done online, sorry to say. You find out how the property is held, and if it's held properly within the trust, end of story.
End of story. They can't. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, what they may want is they may want to know who within the trust is their contact, and that's simple. You just put it in your name. You know, I'm the contact,
right.
But the trust owns it. There's no transfer of property.
Right, because he said it's a lot easier because then I don't have to go into court.
Well, he's saying there's no probate, and there's not. But, assuming that everything... The mistake some people make is they form a trust, but then they don't put everything in it. So
yep.
the thing that you need to determine is, was everything put in the trust?
There was a couple things that weren't, so
well, then
that's
you,
what I...
Then you'll get them transferred in. But you see, you've got a lawyer... And obviously you're having to pay him. So one of the things you're having to on some level, and one of the things that he's earning his keep with is let him worry about it.
Right. So I told him, I gave him the letter, I gave him everything. Yeah. So he's going to handle it. But that just, you know, I mean, they just put the screws to you.
They really don't. Again, it's not personal. None of this is personal, just like I was saying to Andrew. They're bureaucrats. This is what they do. It's within an inch of their DNA. So they're dotting every I and crossing every T and driving you crazy with minutia. But there's nothing that says you have to go down the path they're leading you.
True. But I just wanted to let you know what was going on because you said you wanted to know,
and I will keep
you updated.
Please do. And more than anything else, do not get emotionally embroiled in this. Do not worry excessively about this, and never look at the big picture.
Oh, one quick thing I'd just like to mention to you real quick. I also received it was just information, but it was from the hospital that my mom was at,
mm-hmm.
and they had a total amount owed of $23,000. Now, she had the insurance that covered. I put her in the hospital coverage, so in case she was in the hospital a lot, they would pay for it.
Okay.
Sure enough, my lawyer said. That's what they did. They paid for it because it says right here, you do not have to worry about anything or you don't owe anything. So,
right.
And I didn't see that, and I got all worried.
No. And with Medicare, if the hospital accepts Medicare, the charges cannot be greater than Medicare pays, but Medicare only pays 80%. As long as she has a Medigap policy that pays the other 20%, you don't owe a dime. And you don't.
She did.
Yeah, and she probably had Plan G, which covers virtually everything. So you don't owe a dime.
That's what he said.
That's right. So see, one less thing to worry about.
But I just, why would they send? I guess they have.
Well, they do send it. Now, remember, if in the case if she wasn't a Medicare recipient and if she didn't have the coinsurance, you would be responsible for that 20%. But they usually do send you what they actually billed. That doesn't mean because again, if they accept Medicare, Medicare determines the charges, and it is not unusual that they'll bill $20,000 for something and Medicare will pay $760. In that case, the entire amount that would be owed is $760. They pay 80%, and your Medigap pays the other 20%, and you pay nothing. The only time you ever pay anything is that first deductible for the year, and I don't know, it's like $170 or something like that.
That is it.
And that covers air ambulance, too, because when people are in rural areas, very often if they get or they have an accident somewhere and they're dealing with air ambulances, if they don't have specific air ambulance insurance, that can easily be $40,000-$50,000. However, Medicare has a deal with these companies, and you will not be paying that if you're a Medicare recipient.
Which is what she was. So.
Right. So and as long as the provider... is accepts Medicare, they're governed by the rules.
Right, and everything according to the Medicare, all her deductibles were met.
Yeah, so you have nothing to worry about on that. Nothing at all. And so other than perhaps a little paperwork from time to time, you're not on the hook for anything financially.
Oh, thank you. Yep. Thank you very much. Yep. You're so knowledgeable. You know that? I mean,
I've traversed these paths far too many times over far too many years. So, yeah. I'm happy to help.
I thank you so much. I will keep you updated.
Okay, good deal. Thanks.
All right, take care.
Medicare's made it easy now, where if you have the coinsurance, it's automatic. They process everything. But back in the day, it wasn't. And when they first came out with what's now known as Medigap coverage, you would apply for it in the state, and usually there were a couple companies that would offer it. And you'd have to do the paperwork yourself. And God love it. Whether I was in Jacksonville or whether I was in Los Angeles or whatever, invariably there were seniors who just absolutely were clueless. And so for whatever reason, I got volunteered somewhere along the way. Oh, she'll fill them out for you. Raleigh's never met a form she doesn't like. Yeah, so I would fill them out, and happy to do that. And sometimes I'd have to fight them because there were things that would come down. Now, the only danger in this is if you are taking care of, maybe even yourself, but parents or whatever, is if there is a provider who does not accept Medicare. In other words, they never agreed to accept it. Well, then it's up for grabs what they can charge. Where you sometimes will see this is with anesthesiologists. And I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, they're worth every dime you pay, but you may have to pay. So the thing to do before you undergo any procedures or whatever, if possible, is make sure that you have providers who accept Medicare, and then that limits the amount they can charge. Well, they can charge anything they want, but it limits the amount they can collect. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Oh, this is too good. Gail is in Roscoe. She says... Oh, this is too... I'll let her tell you herself. Gail, welcome to WGN Radio. What do you mean it escaped?
It tried to escape. We caught it.
Now, what type of a robot was this, Gail?
I don't know how many grocery stores have them, but its name is Tilly, and it's a long stick. It is approximately 6 feet tall, and it's on a circular base, and it rolls up and down the aisles, and it beeps if it sees customers. On the long stick, it has cameras surrounding it, and it scans all of the shelves, and this way it takes our inventory, and it orders what food we need. And our company was doing the floors in the store.
Uh-huh.
So they were tearing sections up and blocking sections off. And poor sweet Tilly got confused.
Oh, it was great.
And she first started going into the bathroom. We got her out of the bathroom. We started her towards her charger, and then she headed out the door into the parking lot.
I love it.
So we had to grab her and get her back.
I love it.
So when you guys were talking about this drone committing suicide, I couldn't help but laughing about Tilly.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Oh, I love that. Yes, apparently the autonomous inventory robot, and it's being used in a lot of places. Now, when you were first describing her, I was hoping that she could get the stuff off the high shelves or whatever, because I can't tell you how many grocery stores I have to climb up the shelves to get something on the top row or something. And I'm thinking, God, well, if that'll come by and get it for me, that'd be wonderful.
My favorite line is, "Yoo-hoo, can I borrow your tallness?"
Yeah.
Grab that up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, how about that? That's a wonderful story. I love it.
All right. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Thanks for calling. All right, that's great. All right, the self-scanning robot. And they started out in a couple stores and now are in a lot of them, like Giant Eagles have them and Schnucks. I think Schnucks was one of the first, but a bunch of them where, RFID enabled Tally. So, all right, I think Simbi is the, I'm looking at this, the robot report. Yes, the robot report is telling me all about who makes her. And yeah, how about that? Out in the parking lot, never to be seen again. 888-876-5593. I wonder what she'd scan out there. So, 888-876-5593. Mark is in Aurora, and we'll get to him. We'll also get to Sam and Gurney and James on the south side. But now, without further ado, it is time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Dig me now, baby. Don't worry about later. Dig the dance I used to do. They call them mashed potatoes.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Johnny D wanted to hear There Was a Time, so why not? Early 1968 on King. And I got to number three for a couple of weeks on the R&B charts, only 36 on the pop charts. So, oh, James. All right, now we've got Sam and Gurney. Sam, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Thanks so much for having me on.
Always.
Every time I hear John's voice answer the phone, I think back to his health situation and I'm just blown away by his, you know, the awareness and everything. He's like totally on top of it. So I'm so grateful.
Oh, you know? Me too. But you know, it's interesting. I did not realize, because it's been now a year and a half, there's not a day without pain. And the other thing is there is not a movement that he doesn't have to think about first. The weird thing about strokes is nothing's automatic. Like, we walk across the floor and we don't have to wonder how to walk. He has to think about how to do every step. And that becomes tedious. Yeah, but all that said, compared to most people, he's just light years ahead of any expectation.
Yeah, well, all the more credit to him for it, for putting that that hard work into it. Yeah. And just love knowing that he's back on his feet. It's just a blessing, you know.
Yeah.
But I was calling, I had a kind of a, it's not a two-part question, it's actually two questions. But the first question I had was, if I understand it right, you were a promotional manager for Charlie Rich.
True enough.
And I wanted to, excuse me?
I said, true enough.
True enough, okay. And I just thought it interesting as I heard that. I heard you say that some time ago as well. And I just thought I'd ask if there is something like intimate that you could share with regard to the real person of Charlie Rich as opposed to the guy we saw on stage, who, at least for myself, I mean, you know, at that age when I was younger, he was everything to me. And I thought him the Elvis Presley of country. And secondly, the second question actually does deal with Elvis Presley. And with this current Biden situation and all that he's dealing with this cognitive situation, I was wondering, like, on a personal level, how you feel. There were so many, you know, as Elvis Presley struggled with his addictions and stuff over the years, and people could see him stumbling off the stage and all that, there was so much said about it, but nothing done until he finally succumbed to, you know, the worst of the worst. And I was just wondering, on from your perspective, how you view the Joe Biden situation cognitively with regard to his what you see there.
Well, at the risk of sounding political, I think it's actually apolitical to say that we see somebody who is impaired and has been for quite a while. And I think it's almost elder abuse. I think there are other people running the show, and I think it would be a blessing if some, you know, some changes were made. But hey, that's not for me to decide, and God knows I try to stay away from anything political. What?
You've already been cut off.
Oh, I've already been cut off. All right, you and I, that's right, the news. Never mind. You and I are just talking then. All right, and anybody listening on this, anybody listening on the stream. No, it's terribly politicized, and it's terribly sad. The deal with Elvis, I should probably wait and tell you that on the air, and I will. And yes, I'll tell you some Charlie Rich stuff too. Not inner secrets, but some stuff you don't know. All right, hang on. Don't go away.
Thank you, Raleigh.
James, and that is my all-time favorite Charlie Rich record, and it almost didn't happen. It was written a few hours before the session. Dallas Frazier wrote it. They're looking for something. He came in that morning and went into the studio, kind of finished it there. Jerry Kennedy produced it. It was on Smash, and I don't think it ever got better than that. Now, of course, in terms of sales, yes, this was very small potatoes compared to his later stuff, but man, I just thought it was the absolute best. And so, Sam and Gurney, are you still with us, Sam?
I am, Raleigh. Thank you so much.
All right. So some Charlie Rich stuff you don't know. Charlie was scared to death to be on stage. And I mean, his stage fright was monumental. And all he wanted to do was be in a smoky bar, playing piano with a couple of drunks sitting around, and he was just playing the blues and, you know, all that. Loved it. Just loved it. And, of course, when Behind Closed Doors hit, he had to go out there. And I'll tell you what, that first year, definitely some better living through chemistry to get him to get on that stage. But after a while, his business manager, Cy Rosenberg, really understood and he'd been his manager for a zillion years through all the hard times and actually supported that family. But he knew what he had with that, and he really worked with Charlie to get sober. And Charlie did. But the mechanism in Charlie's personal life with Margaret Ann was that when he was drinking, she was in absolute control. Well, when he wasn't drinking, she started to take pills so that he would have to care for her. In other words, some people would say she drug him back down. I don't know that I'd go that far, but what I would say, it was a dynamic that that played out. And ultimately, he was happier when he could be there with 4 or 5 people than 4 or 5,000. So,
That blows me away. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah, so that's that's one song. And Margaret Ann wrote some of the songs, too. And his son, who now I think tours as Charlie Rich Jr., well, back in the day, didn't ever want to be known as Charlie anything. So, and he was Charlie Rich Jr., but his middle name was Alan, like Charlie Rich. So Epic released an album on of Alan Rich. So if you ever see that, and Margaret Ann wrote some of the songs. So if you ever see that, that's Charlie's son. All right, so
does he tour?
Yes, yes, in rockabilly type things. Yes, in fact, back when Charlie Gracie was still alive, one of the last tours Charlie did, he was on stage with Alan, with Charlie Jr. Yeah. So
thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh yeah, Elvis. All right, now I don't have any firsthand knowledge until the 70s. So anything I say, anything before the 70s, is stuff I heard, not stuff I witnessed. But what I can say is that there is no doubt that Colonel Parker saw Elvis as a cash cow and a commodity and nothing more. Of course, his last number one song before he again came back was in 62. I think it was Good Luck Charm. And then, you know, the years it started to dwindle, some schmaltzy movies and stuff like that. But Colonel Parker had absolute control, not only in everything like the bookings and all that, but the finances, period. In fact, in the latter 60s, mm-hmm. Colonel Sanders sold all of Elvis's RCA rights, sold it to RCA for $4 million, which was just horrible. The only thing worse than that was when Murray Wilson, the Beach Boys' father, sold their rights in 69. But anyway, I digress. But so, you know, what happened in the 60s with amphetamines, I can only tell you what I've heard. I can't tell you what I saw. But by the 70s, there was no doubt that Elvis was being medicated. And it was at that point actually more barbiturates than amphetamines. But the interesting thing is that Elvis did not take street drugs, period. It wasn't like he went out and, you know, got it from a dealer or whatever. This was...
Yeah, I remember that Dr. Nick
Dr. Nick, who ultimately lost his license long later in the 90s, he lost his license.
No kidding. I didn't know that, but interesting to learn.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, when he was investigated for Elvis, they actually said, well, we don't like it, but we're not going to sanction you. So he wasn't even sanctioned. But in 93, they pulled his license entirely because there was such a history of over-prescribing. And, you know, back then they could easily have the proof, which they didn't have earlier. But so I think deep down inside, Elvis didn't even see himself as compromised by drugs, but he had a ton of physical problems. Some of them were genetic. He had autoimmune problems, which is kind of why I bonded with him, because after all, I am the autoimmune queen. And he had other problems too. I know he had gastrointestinal issues. And so he had a number of things. And it was like, Dr. Nick would medicate him with anything because all Colonel Parker cared about was that he could make the live performances. Because in 68, when the International Hilton, well, it wasn't the Hilton then, the International Hotel in Las Vegas was built, and later it became, of course, the Las Vegas Hilton. But when that was built, Elvis Presley became their in-house performer. And he did over 600 shows for them. And the deal was that Colonel Parker, I'm not sure how many people knew this, Colonel Parker was heavily into the International for his own gambling debts. And I mean, tens of thousands of dollars worth of gambling debts, big, big debts. So basically, he saw Elvis as, you're going to have to work. And there was that famous story, I don't remember where it was, it might have been Evansville, but I'm not sure. It was at one of his live gigs where the doctor was medicating him and actually dunked his head in a bottle of cold water, in a bucket of cold water to like get him to wake up and be there. And Colonel Parker, Colonel Parker was said to say, I don't care what you do, just get him on that stage. And so I think they saw him as a commodity. And, you know, ultimately, when they had that autopsy, there were drugs. Oh, man, were there drugs, but no illegal drugs in his system. So people who said Elvis didn't realize he had a problem, well, who would when it's all being prescribed?
Yeah. You know, I had the opportunity, I don't know if I want to actually call it an opportunity, but I worked with one of the Blackwood brothers, one of the his backup singers ended up moving to Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
And I won't name him, but he came into the studio with me, and unfortunately, I write and I record, and you've actually played some of my stuff in the past, like I've done some Elvis impersonations and stuff, and you and John played a couple of the Elvis impersonation songs I've done. But anyway, I had an opportunity to work with one of those guys that was in the Blackwood Brothers Quartet, and he was a backup singer, and he was going to come in on one of my recordings, and he was going to do some backup work, and unfortunately, he succumbed to cancer during the course of the time. I met him in the studio. We met a few times and so forth, and anyway, he ended up succumbing to cancer, and he died at the cancer unit in Zion at the American Cancer Society or hospital, whatever it is there. And he was an awesome guy. But he shared a couple of the stories on the road to me. He said he never had close contact with Elvis. He said Elvis had them come along as backup singers, and he said they generally were like a floor or two below him at the hotel you mentioned in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So he never saw anything close and up close or anything. But he did mention, with regard to the drugs and stuff, he said it was over obvious, basically.
Oh, it was. It absolutely was. There's no doubt about that. And Elvis was also fairly shy. I don't think he had stage fright like Charlie Rich, but he was a shy guy. So in terms of who his friends were, he had his inner circle. Like earlier, it had been Dewey Phillips, but, you know, Dewey died in 68. And then people like George Klein. You know, he had his inner sanctum, if you will, and he was very close to them. But he wasn't the type to go out and socialize with everybody. And so when people would say brought on largely by drug abuse, I think that was just one of the components. I think, and again, it was prescription. I think that he was suffering with a lot of health problems. And unfortunately, people who were in charge didn't care about that as long as he made the gigs. Because, of course, by the time you're hitting the 70s, all the money came from gigs.
Yeah, and it's so sad because when you think about it, in reality, if he had been handled right by Tom Parker and so forth, he may still possibly be with us.
That is possible. Where it would be, I don't know, because, you know, the other thing with that is that he went through that cold period in the mid to latter 60s, no doubt about it, really cold, then came back with more of a country presence and the live performances. But where that would have led, it's too hard to say. It's just like people who revere Buddy Holly. I think, well, if he lived, how would that have played out? You just never know.
Right. Very true. Well, thanks for sharing that. And I'd ask you for your ideas on Joe Biden with regard to, not like I said, I wasn't comparing it to Elvis, but when I think about Elvis's condition and how he would enter and leave a stage, it was visibly, all I was regarding there was that it was visibly obvious that something was not right. And I kind of see that going on with Biden myself, but like you said, it's a personal opinion.
Well, the commonality, interesting you say that. The commonality I would draw between those two examples is that both of them are being abused by people who should have had their better interests. And that was so true for Elvis, and I suspect, sadly, that it probably is true for Biden as well. But it'll play out how it plays out, and it'll be an interesting summer.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for sharing, Raleigh, and I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling. All right.
God bless you. Bye.
Yeah, I never thought about that comparison, but yeah, when you are powerful, whether you're an entertainer or a politician or whatever, a powerful public figure, yeah, you have an awful lot of sycophants, a lot of people who are hanging on and basing their lives on yours, and sometimes they won't have your best interests at heart. All right, and that's not political at all. Unfortunately, it's psychological. We'll get to Linda in Richland Park, and Mark's in Aurora want to hear about that cat. James on the South Side and his stories, and hopefully you two coming up on WGN Radio.
As the midnight moon drifting through the lazy sway of the trees, I saw
not seeing what you wanted to see. Darling, don't say a word, 'cause I already heard what your body is saying to mine. You're tired of fast moves, got a slow groove on your mind. You want a man with a slow hand. You want a lover with an easy touch. You want somebody who will spend some time, not come and go. Somebody that will understand when it comes to love, you want a slow hand. On the shadow ground with no one around and a blanket of stars in our eyes, we're drifting free like two lost leaves. The crazy wind of the night.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, that is Del Reeves. All right, so Dave and LaSalle said you can play Slow Hand by anyone you want. All right, so I picked Del Reeves, 1981. Actually, that was done by a lot of people. Of course, the Pointer Brothers first in May of 81, and then Del Reeves was Top of the Pops actually did it, but we'll avoid that. Then Del Reeves. But after that, it was interesting because not only Conway Twitty, but Mary Wells recorded that, and Billy Joe Spears, and a few others as well. So there's probably a couple dozen versions of that. So I figured, well, let's play something that that wasn't the Pointer Sisters, but certainly they got some writing credits on that. So that was on the Koala label, 1981. It charted country barely and didn't chart pop. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Mark in Aurora. All right, Mark.
Yeah, let me preface by saying I am not going to get political, but I'm not with the mainstream about Biden suffering from cognitive difficulties. I think there's an extreme anxiety that used to cause his stuttering and still causes him speech gaffes and even memory, even absent-mindedness. Yeah. And I mean, I have ADD and I sometimes have episodes of absent-mindedness, and
well,
that's all I want to say.
Everybody's
about
got an opinion. All right, so moving on.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking in retrospect at what you said to me the other night. That you asked me if I'd lived with cats, and I thought, well, maybe Raleigh's got some pointers that I haven't thought of, so I'm going to say, fire away.
No. I have absolutely no advice. The all I'll tell you is if they were bigger, they'd eat you. Keep this in mind.
Oh, that's good. Well, another friend said to me, cats are essentially killers.
Well, yeah, and like I'm telling you, it's only their size that's keeping you safe.
Yeah. Well, I'm the woman who's offering him to me told me about all three of the cats that they're trying to find homes for, and he sounds like the most affectionate and the least troublesome.
You'll find out. Now, I will say, by the way, when I talk about if they were bigger, they'd eat you, there are YouTube videos of people who own big cats. And one of them is a guy in Russia, and he owns this giant puma, and the puma is named Messi. And this guy's become a millionaire with Messi. Apparently, Messi had some type of disorder that couldn't be allowed to live in the wild. So Messi is this gigantic puma, and he's since taken on other large cats as well. And I can tell you that he's still here. Occasionally, he'll be out walking. And I love there was one picture. He was in underwear walking Messi on a leash. And someone said, only in Russia could you see this. But I don't know if that's actually accurate or not. But nonetheless, he's done very well with Messi, has not been eaten, and is getting quite wealthy. So there is that.
Oh, and I'm also told that Jackson is fluffy. I may not even rename him. I think Jackson might be.
Well, if he's got a name now, if he's got a name now, for God's sakes, leave it. I mean, don't change his name.
Now, if I were going to get Martha, I might rename her Penny, but I think I'll go with Jackson.
For God's sakes, accept whatever their names are. They'll have enough of a crisis living with you. Not there's anything wrong with you, but it's a change. It's a change. So for God's sakes, yes. Leave them named whatever they're... Unless it's something that you cannot say in polite company or would get you arrested if you were calling for them. Like years ago, Joey Reynolds, my dog, sex. I was out looking for sex. Yeah, exactly. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
I'm done.
All right. Done. Oh, you're done. Bye. All right, so... Mark's done. But Josh isn't, and Gary in Austin is. Linda in Richton Park isn't, and of course, James and his stories all coming up on WGN Radio.
I'm so happy to be here tonight. So glad to be in your wonderful city. And I have a little message for you. And I want to tell every woman and every man tonight. Someone to love, that's ever had somebody to love, that's ever had somebody to understand, that's ever had someone that needs your love all the time. Someone that's with them when they're up, somebody's with them when they're down. If you had yourself somebody like this, you better hold on to them. So let me tell you something. Sometimes you get what you want, and you lose what you have. And there's a song I sing. Everybody will sing this song. You can say the whole word. Listen to me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Solomon Burke, 1964 on Atlantic, and it was Burt Burns that wrote it, and Solomon Burke wrote it. Burt Burns produced it, yes, and that was a request, too. Let me find out who it was. See, Carol keeps me in line, or I'd never know. Yes, it was, in fact, Robert from Stickney who wanted to hear that. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad I played that for him, because I think he also had wanted the Larry Gatlin, I've Done Enough Dying Today. And boy, that's a funeral dirge. That's not going to be happening. But I'm glad we could play Solomon Burke for him anyway. All right. So with that in mind, Linda is in Richton Park. So, Linda, welcome back to WGN.
Thank you for having me.
Always.
I'm so glad I've started to stay up later and not nod off. The show it's getting more interesting as we go every night.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, I was just saying, people, hey, your listeners are forgetting something. Remember what Scotty said, don't forget the doo-wop.
Yeah, that's
I
so
haven't
true.
Heard any doo-wops in a while. And I was saying, you know, everybody, like, different songs. Let's stick it mainly to the doo-wop. So I thought about this one song, Get a Job.
Oh, the Silhouettes, of course. Remember. Yeah, the Silhouettes on Ember, yes.
That was a good doo-wop song, Get a Job.
The follow-up was good, too, Heading for the Poorhouse. That never got much play, but it was a great little record.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then, Monday, Monday, Linda, almost all the bumper stumpers were doo-wop.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm going to call Monday for that, but I just wanted to mention to you, there was a song you played a long time ago. I like it, but I can't think. I think it was Cops and Robbers.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, yes.
Boogaloo. For a ride.
Right. Boogaloo and the Gallant Crew. Absolutely. Cops and Robbers.
Yes.
Yeah, Clotheslines
on
the flip
side. Yeah, I really like that song, but I was saying also... we got to stop. A lot of your calls, we got to stop being so tight. The tension is, I could feel the tension.
Yeah.
We got to relax more, you know.
Yes.
Don't think any political. Let's not think political.
Yes.
You know.
Here.
Because that's all you hear.
That's
24/7.
Right.
24/7. That's all you hear. Yeah. So when you get your 3 hours, give me some relief from
yeah,
that.
I'm with
so
you.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. Yeah.
Right. I like to hear some good, you know, conversations about yeah. issues that we have amongst each other. And I can learn from someone, and
yeah.
Someone can learn from you. And then I also want to mention to Johnny D. He sounded great tonight. I don't know what he did. Maybe he ate his Sweeties. Maybe he had some spinach. But he sounded good.
All right.
You know,
well, I'm so glad you said that, because he was so hurt last time. I got to tell you, he has very thin skin. He gets upset over every little thing. So I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, well, I mean, no harm. I apologize over the air if I hurt his feelings, but he sounds good this time. It was true. The last time it was like the pits. But this time, I don't know. Maybe he had Wheaties or something. I don't know.
All right.
Maybe it's just something. And I just enjoy your show. And they should not put you in a corner like you.
Yeah.
Got the crystal ball,
yeah.
and you know every answer.
Yeah, really.
I'm like, give this lady a break. Yeah. Give her a break, you know?
Isn't that the truth? Thank you.
Oh,
yes.
My God. They yeah. think she knows everything.
Yeah, hardly.
So, you know, you're a smart person, more than the average bear. But I'm saying, give her a break, you know? Mm. So I love you. I love John. Mm. And I want you to play this song for all the listeners. Also, and I think it's by, I don't know if it's by D.M. Warwick, I love you. She said, I love you. I love you. Every morning I get up, that's what I say, a little prayer for you.
I say a little prayer. Okay, sure, that's Dionne Warwick. You betcha. Well, I will play that. I will play that next week along with Get a Job and the follow-up, Heading for the Poorhouse.
Okay, great. All right.
All right, thanks.
And thank you for taking my call.
Always.
Bye-bye.
Great to hear from you. Thanks, Linda. All right, so 888-876-5593. And yes, here, I appreciate the break from politics. You can get somebody else to describe that, because I ain't down for that. Let's just have fun for 3 hours. All right, Josh, in fact, I'm so glad he called back, because last night we didn't get to him in time. So, Josh, thank you for waiting.
I hate to go after her, because one of my questions was, is suffering the human condition? I was going to ask if you knew the answer to that.
By the way, yeah, that's not political, unfortunately. That's spiritual, and it sure seems like that.
Seems like it, yes.
Yes.
But I agree. I'm glad that we don't have to talk about politics.
Yeah.
I do have a question. I do have a couple of questions. All right.
All right.
So I talked to my grandmother. She's 90-something years old, and I told her that Mariano's is, you know, divesting, and they're going to sell some of their store, you
right.
know, the whole thing.
Right.
And so they're selling it to the owners of the Piggly Wiggly. Now, well, my first question is, does that mean that the Piggly Wiggly is coming to Chicago?
Not
exactly. Or are they going to name it something else?
No. It'll probably stay named Mariano's. Here's
really?
Yeah,
okay.
See, here's, and you know, Kroger's, of course, is under half a dozen names, and Safeway Albertson.
Oh, wow.
And Safeway Albertson's is on half a dozen names. And what this is that there are people who want to stop this merger, and they're claiming that it's antitrust because there are just too many Kroger-owned entities then. And so what Kroger has been, and the problem is, you see, if Kroger merges with Albertson's, and by the way, Albertson's is the parent company of Safeway, not the other way around. If Kroger merges with Albertson's, then Albertson's owns Jewel Osco and Kroger owns Mariano's. And
right.
so the people who are saying that's antitrust, so what they've gone to is a company called CNS Wholesale Grocers. And just like Kroger and like Albertsons, they have several brands. And one of their brands is Piggly Wiggly. Another one is Grand Union, that old brand, if you remember.
Never heard of them.
Oh, Grand Union.
I only know of Piggly Wiggly from Driving Miss Daisy. That's the only time I ever heard of them.
Yeah. They have several brands the same way.
Okay.
And I would assume that what the deal is, that they would want to keep Mariano's as Mariano's because it does well. Like last night when Sherry was saying these stores are closing. No, the stores are not closing. They don't take over stores that they want to close. But yes, Kroger has to keep sweetening the deal for the Justice Department.
And man, so, Mariano's has become so convoluted. So many, you know, once it was just this little Wisconsin grocery store coming to Chicago, and now they are so many people, and that was all chopped up and screwed up.
Well, see, Kroger owns Mariano's right now.
Now.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Before it was Roundy.
Of course.
And then before them, it was Mr. Mariano or something like that.
Right. Exactly. And it's but you know, I mean, when you say Kroger's, you're looking at everything: Fred Meyer and Fry's and King Supers and Mariano's.
And Food for Less and all.
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
Yes.
Food for Less and Dillon's and Ralph's and all that kind of stuff. Payless supermarkets. And then you get to you know, Albertsons, and you got another huge list of stores. So a lot of people are going crazy. And so,
and now out in Arizona, do you guys have Albertsons? Do they I thought they had like Albertsons in California on the West Coast.
No, they have Albertsons are most everywhere. Albertsons was originally owned by Joe Albertson in Idaho Falls. He was an Idaho Falls guy, LDS and individual owner, and had all the Albertsons. And yes, we have Albertsons in Arizona. We also have Safeways. So we have Albertsons, Safeways, and our version of Kroger in Arizona is Fry's.
Okay. No, I never heard of Fry's.
Yeah,
okay.
But like in Los Angeles, the version of Kroger is Ralph's.
Ralph's, that's what I've heard of.
Right, exactly. And the Safeway version or Albertson's version is Vaughn's.
All right, go ahead, Albertsons. They're doing big.
Yeah.
They're doing well.
Yeah.
Oh, my next question, moving on. I love that song by Dionne Warwick that she mentioned. What is it?
Prayer. Yes.
No. The one is I Love You, Love You. Sometimes Your Eyes Look Blue to Me.
Yes, okay.
That one, I love that. Well, I will be honest, as you probably already know, I like it when it's sung by Pearl Bailey, but, you know, I'll leave that where it is.
Yeah.
My next question is unrelated to both of those things. It's related to Motown. I was watching on YouTube Phil Donahue, and he had on Mary Wilson, and they were talking, she was talking about how she got when they left, she got $100,000, and she thought that she was getting 3% of the Supremes' vault, but she was really getting 3% of 3% of 3% type of a thing. And he said, Donahue said to her, "Well, I think that they did that to you all because you were, you know, a young girl, because you were a woman."
No.
And he doesn't think that Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder were also manipulated by Motown. That's
Both
what I was
were.
Saying. I was like, no, I thought they all were.
Yeah, the only one who you might say is an exception was Smokey Robinson, and
he's best friends with the owner.
Well, right, and plus Smokey was just so voluminous with writing as well. But sure. In fact, Stevie Wonder, it's funny because after Fingertips, you know, Stevie was cold right away, and Barry wanted to just dump him from the label, and it was Sylvia Moy who convinced him, saying, "No, I can work with him," you know, and then Place in the Sun and everything else comes up. Well, anyway, toward the end of the 60s, Stevie says, "I want to produce," and Barry says, "Nothing doing." And so when his contract was up, he says, "I'm gone." And Barry, like, "What? What?" He said, "I'm going to produce." And so ultimately, Barry gave way to that, but he didn't want him to. That's for darn sure.
Mm-hmm.
So,
was Barry a visionary?
Well, certainly he was a businessman, and I think he was very, very smart, because Barry understood that the money was in general market. And while Motown did have some wonderful soul product and some decent gospel product, he understood that his money came from getting on those Hot 100 charts, from getting those acts into, you know, white audiences and all that, because that's where millions of records was sold. And really, in some ways, I always thought there were two Motowns, because I'd listen to something like The Chaperone, one of my all-time favorite Motown records, which had never made the charts, and that's just as, you know, given response and all that, versus, you know, My Guy. You had two different companies, and that's fine, but he knew damn well he put those acts within an inch of their lives. They went to charm school, you know, and they went to choreography school, and he was very smart. He built a business.
Was that something new, or was that something that other white labels were also doing?
Firstly, most of the white labels at the time didn't even want any of the product.
Were they doing that with their own
No, not really.
No.
Not really. No. So I would say not really. But what Barry understood was that he had to market this to mainstream America. And you know, one of the examples, which has nothing to do with Motown, but when The Twist came out, which was Hank Ballard who wrote and recorded it, Dick Clark wouldn't put him on Bandstand because he didn't look and act the part and all that. And so that's why they cleaned up Ernest Evans and turned him into Chubby Checker. Well, that was exactly what Berry Gordy was starting to do, and that's make this
with
mass
his own
appeal.
Product.
Yeah, make it mass appeal. But you know, Berry wrote as well. He was a creative guy. Don't kid yourself. So he was not only a businessman; he had some creativity. And you know, the guy he idolized more than any was someone not on the Motown label, and that was Jackie Wilson. He thought he was the best singer that ever lived.
What label was Jackie Wilson on?
Brunswick.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. There was a song I was listening to. I don't know if you know anything about it. I don't even know the name of the group. I don't know if they're not doo-wop, though. I think they were before doo-wop. I'm not sure. The name of the song is Open the Door, Richard.
Oh, yeah. But, absolutely. That is really going back. But, yeah, absolutely.
They talk over the lyrics, don't they?
Yeah. And Louis Jordan did one of the versions of that, but the first version was a guy named Jack McVeigh. He was a saxophonist.
Okay.
And the label for him was Black and White Records. And the A&R guy was Ralph Bass, who was very interesting. I've talked about Ralph on the air quite a bit. But
I
anyway,
heard you mention that name
before,
yeah.
Exactly. But what happened was Open the Door, Richard was a black vaudeville routine. And one of the people, I've got it on some of my quote-unquote party records, you know, from due to like some of the Red Fox stuff and all that. But anyway, Pigmeat Markham used to do that routine, and originally it was a guy named Bob Russell, and this is going way, way back, and Markham, of course, was African-American, but they all performed in blackface, even as so. I mean, it was absolute. Dusty Fletcher on stage at the Apollo made this famous, dressed in rags, you know, acting like a drunk, and a ladder was his only prop. And he'd repeatedly, you know, the ladder would fall down on the stage, and he'd try to climb it and knock on imaginary doors and all that. Open the door, Richard! And
okay, because I was just about to ask you, what is the premise of the song? That he's coming home drunk and he's just telling Richard to open the door?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And Jack McVeigh came up with that musical riff for it, but it was originally this, you know, really kind of vaudeville act.
It was an act to go along with it. Okay.
Yeah. And then when Jack McVeigh did it, you know, there was a lot of tenor honking and things like that. Yeah. And so, you know, it was absolutely the negative aspects of being an urban American, like police brutality, poverty, you know, I know he's in there because I got on the clothes, you know, I was on relief, but they got short of helping
you. How modern it was, how some of the things you can still relate to.
Well, yeah, but you see, life doesn't change that way. You know, if you look at all the great novels from hundreds of years ago, you find out the human condition is static.
Which gets us back to about
That's right. That's absolutely right. Well, hey, we elected to come to Earth. Now we're stuck with it.
Hey. All right, Raleigh. Thank you so
much. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
By the way, you did that Marvin Gaye. Hey, that was riveting. That was like an NPR story time when you told the story of how he ended up dying. That was such a great piece that you did there. But all right, that's all I wanted to say.
Talk to you soon. Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Old band's been out to the club having a little ball tonight. My friend Richard went home early, you know. He's got the only key to the house. I'm gonna have to knock on the door to see if I can get in. Open the door, Richard. See, Richard sleeps in the back room. It's kind of hard to hear. Maybe I better knock a little louder. Open the door, Richard. I don't think Richard heard me yet. Knock one more time to see what's going to happen here. Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Open the door, Richard. Richard, why don't you open that door? Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's 1946 on the black and white label. Jack McVeigh and his All-Stars.
Richard, open up the door, man.
Yeah, so, and that's the that's almost the sanitized version of that. But yeah, when Pig Meat Martin would do it, whoa. All right, and likewise, I didn't ever see the Bob Russell, but that's supposedly the guy Pig Meat got it from. And it was written allegedly for a show called Mr. Rareback. And I think John Mason was the comedian who performed it. And later, Markham got in the act. And yeah, maybe there's some of that on YouTube. I don't know. I've never looked. Gary in Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh. Just thanks for that Open the Door, Richard song. I always liked hearing that one.
Oh, yeah.
But a quick comment on Elvis. There was a album, I guess it was a live album, and it had a version of Are You Lonesome Tonight on it where he forgets the lyrics.
Yeah.
And the audience doesn't know, they don't know what to do. They're,
right.
You can tell by hearing them that they don't know how to react to it. I mean, why would they even release that? And I'm not an Elvis fan, I will say that. Also,
I'd like to know that too, actually. I don't know.
And it just, you know, I was flabbergasted when I heard it.
Yeah, and we're talking obviously the latter years, and like I say, you know, Colonel Parker, I can't believe he sold all of the rights to RCA in '69, like I say, for $4 million, and Elvis didn't even get half of that, by the way. And I think most of it went to Priscilla because I was around their divorce time. Anyhow, be that as it may, I wonder when he sold those rights if he also relinquished the rights to choose on what was released.
Yeah, but if I were a record company, I would not even want to put that on there.
Right.
Myself.
Right, absolutely.
You know, it's just because you want to make your artist look good, and that's not making him look good at all.
And no.
I felt so bad for him just hearing that.
Yeah. And there were a number of things when he would forget lyrics, and that would happen in the Vegas show a lot. I know that. And sometimes it was just absolutely that he'd forget the lyrics. And I don't know that it was drugs as far as that goes. But I know for a while at the International they had cards with the lyrics held up in front of him so that he would not be doing that. But depending on the venue, you couldn't always do that. And
right.
I do not think that it was just drug addiction. I think, like I say, Elvis had a lot of physical things, including some that would have had a mental component, and Parker kept covering it up. And so some of the stuff, they'd give him sheet music, but some of the stuff, it just wasn't available. I know they had a lot of sheet music during that Aloha special.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I do not know why as far as that goes, but it wasn't a case of, gee, he's just too overdrugged. You've ended the night. We'll talk about it more next week.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. And apologies to James. Thanks for the stories. We didn't get there, but we will next week. Thanks to you, too, for listening, and better for calling. That I really appreciate. Tomorrow's a replay of Monday Night Trivia, and next Monday night is a live trivia show. And until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. Thanks to Adam for keeping us on the air, and John for screening your calls. This is WGN Radio.